Yes, indeed. I am joined this morning by Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Good morning to you, Mary. I know she's there.
Good morning, Denny. Great to hear your voice and be on the show.
Thanks very much. You had my heart go pitter-pat just a little bit, so I'm glad you're there.
Mary
is going to help us out, you out, either by phone or by text. So if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question and you're a listener to the show, you know we tend to get real busy. So don't wait. We always hate it when we run out of time at the end of the show to answer your question. So call it in or text it in. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. Mary, I wanted to ask you, first of all, about our lawns. I mean, we could have limited watering restrictions, and I look at some what looks like dead spots. Will these spots come back? I mean, I know it goes into dormancy, but is there still hope for our lawns?
Yes, Denny, there still is hope for our lawns. Many of our cool season grasses are used to going into a dormant period when we have excessive heat. Now, they won't indefinitely last like that, but they can last for around 4, maybe 6 weeks of really reduced water conditions when the weather is hot. So the other thing is it depends on what kind of cool season grass you have. Kentucky bluegrass tends to go into dormancy right away, where our fine fescues don't do that as quickly. So if you have a combination of grasses in your lawn, that will really help.
I want to ask you what you do at home with your personal, your lawn and garden. Is there anything you're doing during this time?
Yeah. Yeah, so I do not have an in-ground irrigation system on my home lawn. I am fortunate that it's fairly shady in the front, and that is very helpful. If you have shade, that will actually protect the lawn and help it from drying out as much. So shade can help. And then I let it go. It's a lot of fine fescue, so it doesn't go dormant right away. And then if we get to 4 weeks of dormancy, after 4 weeks of brown is when I think we really have to do something. So that is when I follow the restrictions that are in my city for watering. And I try to water early in the morning because most cities will have some type of a restriction now. The city of Plymouth, where I live, you can only water on the days, odd, even days, depending on your house number, and then only watering early in the morning. So that 12 to 5, the hottest part of the day, there's usually a restriction on anybody watering at that time.
I think you're right. I think that's the same with around our neighborhood, too. If you have a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in. In fact, let's go to the phones. Mary, Al is calling in from St. Paul. Go ahead, Al. Mary's listening.
Two weeks ago, somebody called in. I tried to call in last week, but I called a little too late. But anyhow, they said that something was causing dripping down off of a birch tree. And it was probably caused by aphids, and they could be controlled with melathion, but this probably could be controlled with something more mild than that, too.
Okay, what do you think of that comment, Mary?
Yes, so we know that aphids secrete the honeydew, and that is a sticky substance that ants, other insects, and so on will be attracted to and feed on. And then that sticky substance can often get very black and ugly looking and sticky. So aphid control, there are a couple of recommendations for aphids. Now, malathion is a heavy-duty insecticide. It kills a lot of insects in addition to aphids. Normally, aphids in and of itself are not so much of a problem that you have to control them. And for most most plants, I usually recommend a spray of water. Just water in and of itself will dislodge a lot of aphids. There are insecticidal soaps, and there's also neem oil that will control aphids, but they're not the most destructive insect to really consider, but I would simply use water to wash them off if it is indeed an aphid issue. So the first thing to do right is always determine what insect do you have that you need to control.
Makes sense. Back to the phones we go, Mary. Judy is calling in this morning from Forest Lake. Good morning, Judy. You're on CCO.
Good morning. I enjoy your program very much.
Thank you.
I have a very mature pine tree that this spring had the lower limbs, which were dead, taken off. So it's up about now 4 feet. And I have clumps of grass and other types of weedy plants under the tree. I would like to kill them, and I would also love weedy plants under the tree. I would like to kill them, and I would also like to put down a layer of mulch. Would I be best to kill the weeds before I put the mulch down, or should I let them come up over or through the mulch and then kill them? And will it harm the tree?
So, Judy, what I would do if that was my situation, I would go in and hand weed, pull out those weeds, or cut them off with a lawnmower. If it's a shady condition under a pine tree, is usually a shady condition and usually very dry, so not a lot of plants are going to want to grow there. So I would remove the ones that are there, and then I'd put down a layer of mulch. I would put down 2 inches or less of mulch, and not any more than that, but 2 inches should be enough to control most of the weeds.
Okay. This texter, Mary, says that they have two very tall hedge-like trees. They look like spires or tall, skinny Christmas trees. Is it okay to cut off a third to shorten them? And if so, when is this okay to do? What do you think of that?
Well, it'd be great to know what kind of trees these were, but they're some type of an evergreen, maybe an arborvitae, they might be. But you can do that. You can prune off a third of the growth on the top of the tree. For most plants, that will encourage side branches to grow out, and that is true of an arborvitae. It's more difficult if it's a pines and a true conifer for that really to shoot out from the sides. But you can prune off a third of it. I would do it right now. July 15th is often my D-Day for just stopping pruning, heavy pruning like this, because you don't want to encourage new growth as we go into the winter. But we have enough time now for new growth to harden off before we get into the winter. So, yeah, try it out. But ideally, you'd like to know what that plant really is.
Sure. That makes sense. Mary, hang on. We'll take a bit of a break here. We have more show to come. So, you folks on the line, hang on. And if you want to send a text instead of a phone call, same number, 651-989-9226. We'll be back with Smart Garden here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. We're just joining us here on Smart Garden. Mary Meyer from the U of M is helping you out this morning, either by text or by phone. And we have both, Mary, 651-989-9226. Let's see who's been waiting. Karen in Watertown, I think, is first up here. Thank you, Karen. What's your question for Mary?
Good morning. We try to listen to your show every Saturday.
Great.
We have two tomato plants that we pot up because we don't have a place for a garden. But I think the large one is a celebrity. The other one is a sun sugar. But the celebrity, that we've had two ripe tomatoes, and they're turning rotten on the bottom. What would cause that?
So that's a condition called blossom end rot. And, yeah, it's very disturbing, especially when it happens on your first tomatoes, which is usually exactly when it happens. You're so happy to get a first tomato and turn it over and find it's got that sunken black part on the bottom. That's to do with irregular watering, or not dry and wet, dry and wet. And that is what happens with container plants, because it's hard to keep them evenly moist, and they require daily watering. The tomatoes take up a huge amount of water, and so just do your best to water them every day and make sure that they don't dry out so much that the plant will wilt. Many times you will only see blossom end rot on the first couple tomatoes and then not afterwards. Celebrity is a wonderful cultivar, variety of tomatoes to grow, so that's a very good one, and hopefully you won't see it anymore. Just try to keep those plants watered as much as possible.
Very good. This texter says, this, Mary, I have a row of arborvitaes for privacy 12 feet tall, but some of the bottom limbs seem to be dead. Can I plant some kind of bush under the trees to fill in those bad areas?
You can try doing that, yes. You want to look for shrubs that will tolerate shade conditions, or maybe a taller perennial, but the perennial, of course, would die back in the winter. So there are some wonderful shade-tolerant shrubs. Evergreens like yews are quite tolerant of shade. The northern lights azaleas are tolerant of shade. So we have lots more recommendations online at extension.umn.edu. There's a publication, The Best Plants for 30 Tough Sites, and that has a list of shade-tolerant shrubs there as well. I would say you might want to plant it out a little bit, not try to put it up right and totally underneath the arborvitae, but a little further out. It will be easier to dig. You'll encounter less roots, but still, so it would grow nearby and have some shade.
I'm glad you brought up the website. I was using it just the other day to, looking for more information about tomato plants. Yeah, extension.umn.edu. Just a wealth of information on that great website. Mary, Fred, I believe, is calling in this morning from West St. Paul. Fred, you are on CCO with Mary Meyer.
Oh, good morning, Mary. My wife and I regularly listen to your show and really appreciate all the info you give. Our question is, we have a magnolia that anchors the corner of our home, and it appears to be suffering from a real infestation of scale. And I've taken pictures of it and put it up on your website, but we're just frustrated because we so much enjoy the plant and don't know what the next steps are going to be.
Yes, Fred, this is a really a difficult problem, and unfortunately we've had more and more scale issues now with magnolias in our area. It's hard to control this, and timing is really everything, but it requires repeated years of control. Excuse me, and I have talked to some people who have decided to cut down their magnolias because the chemical control and the repeated applications are quite frustrating. Depending on how much of it you have, you can put gloves on and try to hand remove and rub a lot of the stems. You can take a spray of water and try to dislodge the scales. You can use insecticidal soap. You can use neem oil. The heavy-duty insecticides to control this are the neonicotinoids. These are the insecticides that have been so controversial and kill pollinators. So there are no flowers right now on your magnolia because they came earlier this year. However, if there are other plants nearby in the root zone where you apply this neonicotinoid, that can be taken up by other plants and can affect pollinators. So it's very frustrating. We have just passed the crawler stage. The crawler stages are pretty much gone now, and I think most of them that have a scale on a harder shell, they're a little harder to control now. The timing is earlier in the spring. But we have a great information page on that. I'd encourage you to read it online for Magnolia Scale. And you just have to be very vigilant. And it'll take 2 or 3 years, I'm afraid, to really get rid of the scale.
Yeah, extension.umn.edu. We will mention that before Mary takes her leave today. Mary, we need to look at that forecast, so hang on. We're going to do that, and we have about another half hour of the show to go. It's the Smart Garden Show here on News Talk. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Mary, we always like to ask you, and this is, well, any time is a great time to get to the Arboretum. What's going on at the Arboretum this time of year?
Wow, there are so many things in bloom at the Arboretum. I was just admiring the beautiful lilies there yesterday. Of course, there are a lot of day lilies out, but the beautiful hybrid lilies, oriental lilies, oh, their fragrance is just amazing. The prairie is starting to bloom. There are a lot of flowers out in the prairie, the hydrangeas, roses, beautiful collection of annuals. They're very, very showy. So wonderful things are blooming at the Arboretum. Tonight and tomorrow, there's a special outdoor performance by the American Ballet Company. I'm actually going to that tonight.
All right.
And it's wonderful. When I looked yesterday, there were tickets still available for that for some of the sections for seating. So looks like a beautiful thing to be doing this weekend to enjoy an outdoor performance at the Arboretum. But new trails for walking. There's a new walking trail there, and there's work is just finishing up for the new bike path that will be in front of the Arboretum.
Now, what's the procedure of getting there, and do you need reservations? Do you have to call them, get online? What's the procedure?
Yes. Yes, you do need reservations to go to the Arboretum, but there are reservations as soon as 9 o'clock this morning. So just go online. It's very easy to make a reservation, and then you just have your barcode on your phone to show that when you go in the gatehouse. The Arboretum is just west of the intersection of 41 and 5. Now, Route 5 is open the whole way to come from the east. 41 South is currently closed just for a brief spot, and there's an easy detour right around that on Century Boulevard. So there is some work because of the bike path that's going in, but the detours are clearly marked and easy.
Yes, they are. I just used it the other day myself, as a matter of fact.
Good.
All right. Now, Mary, we have a bunch of callers and texters as usual, so let's get back to it. I think Tony is calling in from Minneapolis first up there this morning. Thank you for waiting, Tony. What's your question for Mary? Hello, Tony. All right. Tony may have taken his leave. How about Ron in New Brighton? Is Ron there?
Hello?
Hello. Oh.
Okay. I'm still here.
Oh, go ahead. What's your question?
Okay, thank you, Denny and Mary, for such a great show and a great forecast, might I mention.
All right.
My lawn with watering restrictions, we have a lot of shade in our backyard, and it's held up real well. My front yard faces straight south, and I don't have much shade out there, and it's doing pretty well with the watering restrictions. However, I always used to take care of my own lawn. Last couple of years, I've had a lawn service. They came the first week in May, and that was the last nutrients that the lawn got. Now, my question is, can I fertilize now with a supposedly non-burning fertilizer, such as Milorganite or some of the Scotts products, or should I just wait? I'm thinking about firing my lawn service, quite frankly, and going back doing it myself.
I would wait to put on any fertilizer, because fertilizer is really not the limiting thing now in keeping your lawn green or growing. It's really water and lower temperatures. So those are both hard to control. So I would wait until things are cooler and we get closer to the 1st of September to fertilize. The ideal time for lawn renovation in our climate is really August 15th to September 15th. And that's for, reseeding and growth. We have a lot of growth of lawn roots in the fall when the weather is cool. But right now, the plant is really not growing very much. And so fertilizer is not a limiting factor. Water and cool temperatures are really will help growth more.
Very good. Texter says, when and how do you divide tiarellas?
Tiarellas. This is a perennial, and I think you probably could do that this right now. That is more of an early spring wildflower. It's more, well, not real early spring, but it's more of just in its green form now and not flowering as much. I personally have not divided a tiarella, but if you have a healthy plant and it's thick and full, I would dig it up, just put a knife right through the middle of it, divide it maybe just in half, unless it's really huge, maybe three or four sections, and then replant it and water it well. You might cut off some of the foliage to compensate for some of the root loss when you're doing that division. But as long as you can water it really well, I would do it now. If you wait till temperatures are cooler, that's fine too. I wouldn't wait. I'd do it sometime so it would have a month to recover before the before the really cold weather. So you'd want to have it done by October 1st.
Okay. Let us try on the phone Tony again from Minneapolis. Tony, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
We certainly can. What is your question? Great. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I have a quick one regarding Japanese beetles. And every year I get them, and every year I pick them off. This year I was no exception. They were out there busy eating. And the last 2 days, I haven't seen a beetle. I don't know what happened. I'm not complaining, by the way.
Good. Well, thanks for letting us know what your experience is. You probably saw a lot of the first wave that came out. They late June or around the 4th of July, and they tend to come in, you'll notice that first wave. Now, sometimes if you've been diligent about picking them off, you may have eliminated a lot in your area, and sometimes they can smell each other. They will come in where they find more beetles. They'll just collect on top of each other. So you may have done a good job in controlling them on your yard. Good for you.
All right, very good. Thanks, Tony. Gary is on the horn from St. Louis Park, I think, this morning. Gary, thank you for waiting. What's your question?
Hi, good morning, Denny. Good morning, Mary. Mary, last spring, I really did a power-raking, magnificent job in the backyard to dig up all of the thatch that was left over from last winter, and it worked beautifully. And now I'd like to do the front yard, and I'm wondering, should I do that in the fall, or should I just wait until spring to do that?
You can do that in the fall. It's okay to do power raking in the fall. I would wait till we get closer to August 15th and we have cooler conditions and hopefully more rain will be coming in. But, yeah, that's a great thing to do in the fall. You did in the spring. That's okay.
All right. This texter says, this, Mary, what will kill plantain in my lawn?
Well, plantain, very common weed. And often grows in compacted soils, and and poorer nutritionally soils, poorer low nutrition soils. But all the broadleaf weed killers, they will say plantain right on the label. That's what we like to see, the plant that you want to control on the label, and then just use the recommended directions that are on the label, especially depending on the temperatures. The temperatures with weed control are really critical. So you don't want it really hot and you don't want it really cold. But the broadleaf weed killers, especially ones that have two or three active ingredients, will all do a good job on plantain.
All right. This listener says, can I still prune my yews?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have a yew I should be pruning today. So yes, I try to do most pruning by the 15th of July. So we are getting down to it. But yes, should be fine.
All right. Catherine is calling in this morning from Blaine, I believe. Catherine, thank you. What is your question for Mary Meyer?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. And, Mary, I have a question in the back, and I'm just curious. There was it's like a fungus. It's called stinkweed, I believe. And I mean, it's just, it was propagating. It was just growing all over. So I took it up to a garden up the road, a gardener, and she said that it was beneficial to your garden. I found it hard to believe because it looks like an alien kind of thing growing in my garden. Can you go a little further with that, please?
Okay, Catherine, I'm sorry I missed part of what you said in the beginning, but I think you're asking me about a plant that someone named as stinkweed. And you want to know if they told you it was good, but you're really wondering if it is. Oh, what the heck is stinkweed? I do not know. I'm trying to think if I've ever heard of a plant called stinkweed. Maybe pennycress. This is a plant in the brassica family, which is a very common. The brassicas tend to be cool season weeds, come up a lot early in the spring, and then they have seed pods. These are not beneficial a lot early in the spring, and then they have seed pods. These are not beneficial. They're just common weeds. I would do your best to make sure that you can get this plant identified. If you send a picture of it into Ask a Master Gardener, they can identify it for you. But it sounds to me like it might be one of the common brassicas, field pennycress, and it has a seed bank. It is not really a beneficial weed.
Oh, okay, great. All right, very good. Mary, we need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. Mary Meyer from the U of M is with us this morning on our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk A3O. WCCO, we'll be back. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. Mary Meyer is helping you out today. Mary from the University of Minnesota. Mary, we have a bunch of listeners that still need some help here, so let's see how many we can help before you take your leave. Here's one that says, is it okay to cut out dead branches from a rose bush now, or is it too late? Also, I didn't trim a flowering bush late spring due to heat. Can I trim it now? A couple of questions for you.
Yes, go ahead and prune out dead branches on the rose bushes. Most any plant with dead branches, you can take those off. The spring flowering shrubs, maybe. So if it's really too large, I would go ahead, something like a forsythia and so on. We'd like to prune those right after they flower, but I would go ahead and do that now.
Okay. This listener says, for years, I put impatiens in my garden, but a number of years ago, a fungus affected them. Is it safe now to plant impatiens?
Yes. You can find disease-resistant downy mildew disease-resistant impatiens. I don't think many people are selling anything except the disease resistance ones now. So you should ask at the garden centers. There are lots of inpatients available, and there are two or three companies have developed disease resistant ones. But yes, you should be able to now.
Okay. This listener says, my potted annuals, including petunias, were heat damaged last weekend while we were out of town. Is there any hope?
You know, it's tough to say. If the leaves are totally brown and crisp, those leaves are dead and looking dead, and they are dead. New buds have to grow from the stem of a plant like that. And it really depends on how badly it was damaged. You'll usually be able to tell a week or so afterwards. You'll see the new growth coming out, or only a few of the leaves will be damaged. It really depends on what the plant was and how long it was hot. This has been a strange year. I have lost plants from the frost when we had that late frost killed plants, and now I've had plants die from the heat. So it's been a challenging year for gardeners.
Boy, that's for sure. My Miss Kim lilacs, said a listener, and our Japanese lilac tree have no blooms this year. Last year they both were amazing. Do these plants typically bloom off and on again?
No, they don't. We are usually lucky in that those lilacs are a wonderful plant for us in Minnesota, and they usually will bloom consistently every year. The only thing I can say is that last summer we saw a huge defoliation of lilacs. In fact, that was one of our most common questions on this show. The foliage died from what we think were a couple of leaf spot foliar diseases, and perhaps your lilacs were weakened from that. Hopefully next year they will be just fine. But you want to be careful not to prune lilacs late in the year, because you'll actually can cut off the flower buds as well. So don't do any pruning on your plants, and hopefully they will be fine next year.
Okay. This listener says, I have two large burning bush on the southwest corner of my garage. They have always looked healthy and grown like crazy for 30 years. This year, one of them is full of leaves as usual. The other is totally bare, not a leaf anywhere. What happened, and what should I do about it? Thank you.
Well, the one that has no leaves is probably dead. I would cut on the stem and see if you can see any green in the stem at all. If it's very brittle and breaks and is very dry, then the whole thing is dead. You can cut it off. A burning bush will sometimes come back from the base. And a couple of years ago, it's like two years ago, I think it was in 2019, we saw severe dieback of burning bush. I've never seen that in my life. As you say, they're 30-year-old plants. They're very, very hardy. But we had a lot of winter kill, which was quite unusual. So perhaps this one is just died or was weakened and now is dying. But it's hard to explain that. I'd try to see if it's anything. It sounds like it's totally dead, so you may as well cut it down.
Okay. That's a good question. We talk about watering our lawns, listener says, but how important is it to water our trees, and what kind, if any, needs water most?
This is a great question, yes. So our trees really do need water, especially anything that was planted in the last couple of years or this year. You really do need to pay attention with watering trees. There is a wonderful video on our extension website on three ways to water trees. It's only about 2 minutes long, but it talks about putting your hose down on the ground 15 minutes on all four sides, 15 minutes each. So this would be 1 hour of letting the water run around a tree. That is one of three methods, easy methods to water a tree. It takes longer than most of us think to really water. And if we don't have an inch of water a week, then we really need to water trees, especially ones that were recently planted. Mature trees, older trees, they usually can get by with no problem. But if you've had a tree you've planted in the last couple of years, please pay attention to watering it, especially in areas where there's a severe drought, which is now 40% of the state of Minnesota.
Isn't that something? Mary, we have less than 60 seconds to go. How about giving our listeners the University of Minnesota website?
Yes, we have a wonderful amount of information at extension.umn.edu. You can click on Yard and Garden. We have articles on watering trees, lawns, care for plants in hot weather conditions. Lots of great information at extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your help, and let's talk soon.
Thank you, Denny. Always a pleasure.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Get those home improvement questions ready next hour. Thanks to our friends at Lindis Construction. We'll be fielding those questions for you on our home improvement show with Andy Lindis here on CCO. Slight chance of showers today here in the Twin Cities. It might even be raining where you are. Otherwise, partly sunny near 78. That's the high for today. We dropped to 61 overnight. Sunny and near 84 tomorrow. And Monday, mostly sunny, high near 82. We could be up to 88 by the end of the week. Right now in the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy skies. Humidity 81%, dew point 60. CCO temperature reading 66. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. Thanks for joining us. Mary Meyer is helping you out today. Mary from the University of Minnesota. Mary, we have a bunch of listeners that still need some help here. So let's see how many we can help before you take your leave. Here's one that says, is it okay to cut out dead branches from a rose bush now, or is it too late? Also, I didn't trim a flowering bush late spring due to heat. Can I trim it now? A couple of questions for you.
Yes, go ahead and prune out dead branches on the rose bushes. Most any plant with dead branches, you can take those off. The spring flowering shrubs, maybe. So if it's really too large, I would go ahead, something like a forsythia and so on. We'd like to prune those right after they flower, but I would go ahead and do that now.
Okay. This listener says, for years I put impatiens in my garden, but a number of years ago, a fungus affected them. Is it safe now to plant impatiens?
Yes. You can find disease-resistant downy mildew disease-resistant impatiens. I don't think many people are selling anything except the disease-resistant ones now. So you should ask at the garden centers. There are lots of impatiens available, and there are two or three companies have developed disease-resistant ones. But, yes, you should be able to now.
Okay. This listener says, my potted annuals, including petunias, were heat damaged last weekend while we were out of town. Is there any hope?
You know, it's tough to say. If the leaves are totally brown and crisp, those leaves are dead and looking dead, and they are dead. New buds have to grow from the stem of a plant like that, and it really depends on how badly it was damaged. You'll usually be able to tell a week or so afterwards. You'll see the new growth coming out, or only a few of the leaves will be damaged. It really depends on what the plant was and how long it was hot. This has been a strange year. I have lost plants from the frost when we had that late frost killed plants, and now I've had plants die from the heat. So it's been a challenging year for gardeners.
Boy, that's for sure. My Miss Kim lilacs, said a listener, and our Japanese lilac tree have no blooms this year. Last year they both were amazing. Do these plants typically bloom off and on again?
No, they don't. We are usually lucky in that those lilacs are a wonderful plant for us in Minnesota, and they usually will bloom consistently every year. The only thing I can say is that last summer, we saw a huge defoliation of lilacs. In fact, that was one of our most common questions on this show. The foliage died from what we think were a couple of leaf spot foliar diseases, and perhaps your lilacs were weakened from that. Hopefully next year they will be just fine. But you want to be careful not to prune lilacs late in the year, because you'll actually can cut off the flower buds as well. So don't do any pruning on your plants, and hopefully they will be fine next year.
Okay. This listener says, I have two large burning bush on the southwest corner of my garage. They have always looked healthy and grown like crazy for 30 years. This year, one of them is full of leaves as usual. The other is totally bare, not a leaf anywhere. What happened and what should I do about it? Thank you.
Well, the one that has no leaves is probably dead. I would cut on the stem and see if you could see any green in the stem at all. If it's very brittle and breaks and is very dry, then the whole thing is dead. You can cut it off. A burning bush will sometimes come back from the base. And a couple of years ago, it's like two years ago, I think it was in 2019, we had saw severe dieback of burning bush. I've never seen that in my life. As you say, they're 30-year-old plants. They're very, very hardy. But we had a lot of winter kill, which was quite unusual. So perhaps this one is just died or was weakened and now is dying. But it's hard to explain that. I'd try to see if it's anything. It sounds like it's totally dead, so you may as well cut it down.
Okay. That's a good question. We talk about watering our lawns, listener says, but how important is it to water our trees, and what kind, if any, needs water most?
This is a great question, yes. So our trees really do need water, especially anything that was planted in the last couple of years or this year. You really do need to pay attention with watering trees. There is a wonderful video on our extension website on three ways to water trees. It's only about 2 minutes long, but it talks about putting your hose down on the ground 15 minutes on all four sides, 15 minutes each. So this would be 1 hour of letting the water run around a tree. That is one of three methods, easy methods to water a tree. It takes longer than most of us think to really water. And if we don't have an inch of water a week, then we really need to water trees, especially ones that were recently planted. Mature trees, older trees, they usually can get by with no problem. But if you've had a tree you've planted in the last couple of years, please pay attention to watering it, especially in areas where there's a severe drought, which is now 40% of the state of Minnesota.
Isn't that something? Mary, we have less than 60 seconds to go. How about giving our listeners the University of Minnesota website?
Yes, we have a wonderful amount of information at extension.umn.edu. You can click on Yard and Garden. We have articles on watering trees, lawns, care for plants in hot weather conditions. Lots of great information at extension.umn.edu.
Excellent. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your help, and let's talk soon.
Thank you, Denny. Always a pleasure.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Get those home improvement questions ready next hour. Thanks to our friends at Lindis Construction. We'll be fielding those questions for you on our home improvement show with Andy Lindis here on CCO. Slight chance of showers today here in the Twin Cities. It might even be raining where you are. Otherwise, partly sunny near 78. That's the high for today. We drop to 61 overnight. Sunny and near 84 tomorrow. And Monday, mostly sunny, high near 82. We could be up to 88 by the end of the week. Right now in the Twin Cities, mostly cloudy skies. Humidity 81%, dew point 60. CCO temperature reading 66.